So welcome on this Wednesday evening, and tonight we are going to read Psalm 96, and have a little meditation on this psalm. Actually, I have prepared at home, and I have divided this psalm into three parts. So the first one is verses 1 to 4, and we read this first part first. Verse 1, Psalm 96. This is why it was important that we were singing before, because it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." And that was the first section, which we call the Deliverer of the World. And if you look at the song, we see that this is something that is written to the whole earth, to the whole world. You see these words, nations, peoples, families of the peoples, all the earth, and world. He's come back. And I think it's just so obvious to see that God's plan has always been to the whole world. He never forgot about his creation, and his plan of salvation, his plan for deliverance is for the whole earth. And that means all the nations. So it says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. That's verse 1. Then verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Back then, when this psalm was written, people didn't know what this salvation was. Now, since the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we know exactly God's plan of salvation. But we know, this was the theme of the Sunday message, that God didn't let his creation die or stay in death, in corruption, but he had a plan to save that which was lost. This is what Jesus said when he came, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. So this is why we sing a song to the Lord. So the first portion is the Deliverer of the World. And I like verse 4. It reminded me of another verse. It says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." And this fear is not a negative fear, but it's a holy fear before God. It's reverence to him. And the verse that I was thinking about is Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "Lord, if you would mark our transgressions, who could stand before you?" But then in verse 4, he says, "But there is forgiveness with you, so that the people would fear you." And that's a very interesting connection. This is our God who is worthy to be sung to because he has forgiveness. And we know what this forgiveness was. It was that he became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God. And this righteousness, this forgiveness, was nothing that we could have earned for ourselves. And this is why he had to do it. If I pay for my sins, then I am lost forever. If Stefan pays for my sins, that would be very nice. Then I would be free, but he would be lost. Right? So it had to be somebody else, and that was the Son of God. So let's sing to the Lord and bless his name. And this call to sing to the Lord is to all the earth, and to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is a theme in the psalm. This is a message. These are commandments to all the peoples, to all the earth. And I show you something very exciting at the end, in point 3. So Now we go to verse 5 to 8. I read these verses also for you. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. And this section I called the desire of the world. God, the desire of the peoples of the earth. It speaks about gods, other gods. In verse 4, he is to be feared above all gods. In verse 5, it says that all the other gods of the peoples are worthless idols. And it's interesting that the Bible doesn't deny that there would be other gods, with small g. They are not almighty. They are not all-powerful. They are not all-knowing. They are not glorious. But they are gods, simply because they are being worshipped in different places. We can think about different gods. I don't want to go deep into this meditation. But basically, whatever and whoever receives that place in our lives, in our hearts, that should be for God, it becomes a god. And it says here that when we think about our God and we understand who he is, we are going to give him the glory. What is this God of ours like? He is the one who made the heavens, that's the first one. Why he mentions the heavens is because we know, even by looking, that the heaven is bigger than the earth, right? Now we know from modern science that the earth is just a little speck of dust in a huge, endless universe. when we look at the heavens, the sky, it's great. It goes beyond our imagination. And he made it. God is not a part of the universe. He is the maker of everything. So he has splendor and majesty. Also strength and beauty. So he says, ascribe to the Lord the glory and the strength due his name. And bring him an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord. That's the next one. And I started thinking about it. I call this section the desire of the world. We do worship different things. And now it's a football World Cup. That's a very obvious thing. We have a fascination when we see skill, when we see power, energy, strength, and there's a certain glory. We give glory to these things, glorify, achievement, power. I could just repeat these words. And we gather around these things that we glorify. And that might be one description of worship, actually, to give our attention to something, spend time there, and be really focusing on that person or football team or politician or whatever, rally around it and spend time there, give our whole attention to it. This is what corresponds to our desire. We desire to have somebody or something that we could gather around, something that we could write poems about or songs. Somebody that we could idolize, so to say. And it's happening all over in the world because this is our makeup, this is our nature. Somebody to glory about. Hammarby won the last game, and I'm going to speak about it to my friends and tell them, haha, my team is better than yours. Right? And there's a strong sense of you know, if I belong to the right supporter group, then that's important. So this psalm says, ascribe these things to God, those things that he actually deserves, what are due him, give those things to him. And when we do that, I think it puts our soul in the balance, in the right balance also. Many times these commandments seem to be so strange when we think about it. Why would God say that we should sing about him? Is he so selfish that he thinks that everybody should speak about him and give him glory? Does he need that? No, I think, yes, in one way, he is the only one who truly deserves it, so he says we should give it to him. But why we should do it is because that's what creates order in our soul. When my thoughts are focused at him, then everything will fall into place in my soul. Yeah. And then now we come, so this was Jesus' desire, of the desire of the world. When we think about him, we realize that he is the one that people desire to have and to see all their lives. And then point number three is verse 9 to the end of the chapter, and it's the destiny of the world. And you see that I have the three D's, just like Pastor Meekin taught them. So, verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness. This portion speaks about the future. It speaks about the righteous judge coming, who will judge in equity, in righteousness, in faithfulness. And that is still in the future. And this portion really reminded me of what Paul describes in Romans chapter 8. So I thought to turn there, because I found it very interesting. Stefan knows this chapter by heart, I would think. He told us on Monday how he has read this chapter so many times. So from verse 19, Paul says this, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And this is what we read about here in this psalm, that the heavens are glad, the earth rejoice, and it's not just those things that live in it, or people who live in it, but even the sea and all that fills it, and the field, and the trees, and the forest, sing for joy, because the whole earth is in corruption, in futility, and it's waiting eagerly for the redemption to be revealed. And this is something that is still in the future, but we know that the Deliverer, the Savior of the world, has done his work. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, waiting for that commandment, go. And then he will restore the earth and bring his kingdom where righteousness will live. And the whole earth will be released from this futility, which it is in bondage of. So this is a wonderful future hope And it's so interesting to think that we are the key to this. God is waiting patiently because the message of salvation is put forth, and anybody who wants to accept it can accept it. There are still new people being born, like our little son was just born a little while ago. And God is waiting so that the maximum amount of people would come in to his kingdom. And when the time is up, he sends his son, and he will set up a new kingdom. So, I don't know how deep I want to go into this, but we love nature programs. But when we look at nature, it's obvious that it's not as good and glorious as it could be. There's a lot of beauty, but also there's a lot of pain and suffering, death, things feeding on one another for survival. And we know that this was not the plan of God from the beginning. So the whole creation is groaning and is in pain, waiting for the deliverance that comes from God. And it is coming. So, Jesus, the deliverer of the world, the desire of the world, and the destiny of the world. In Psalm 96, that was our passage for today. Thank you, Jesus, that people knew about your salvation, even in the Old Testament. Thank you that we see their hope being expressed in beautiful ways. And thank you that we know more, because you have sent your Son, who spoke to us in very clear terms. Thank you that we know the way of salvation, Jesus. Thank you that we know more about the hope that you have given to us. And thank you that we can ascribe glory to you and let your name be known among the nations, among the people. This is why we are here on this earth and in this city. We ask that you fill our mouth, Jesus, to speak about you. When you have filled our hearts, you can fill our mouths also to speak. And thank you for the future hope, our destiny with you. Thank you that you have not given up on your creation, but you have a plan how to reverse everything, how to fill this earth with your glory. We are waiting for that kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this evening. We pray that you bless your people here and every other place. In your name. Amen.